you followed along in the scripture reading, or you have a sheet, I'd like you to have your Bible open to 2 Samuel chapter 16. In just a little bit, we're going to be reading verses 5 through 10 of 2 Samuel 16. Now, prior to these verses, you have David, king over Israel, and David at this point in time is a fugitive king. He's headed east. He's moving across the Judean hills, and someone brings some food for him, some provisions for him. These provisions, as you look at 2 Samuel chapter 16, verses 1 and 2, included some donkeys. And these donkeys were loaded with 200 loaves of bread. The provisions also included 100 clusters of raisins and 100 bunches of summer fruit. Then there was also a beverage. All this food was a very nice gesture to help out David during this very difficult time. But along with this guy who shows up with a lot of fruit, there is somebody else who shows up. And this other guy who shows up is not very fond of David. We see that beginning with 2 Samuel chapter 6, starting with verse 5 and going down to verse 10. And when King David came to Jerusalem, behold, there came out thence a man of the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera. He came out and cursed still as he came. And he cast stones at David and at all the servants of King David. And all the people and all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left. And thus said Shimei, when he cursed, he was saying to David, "Begone, begone, thou man of blood and base fellow. Jehovah hath returned upon thee all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose stead thou hast reigned. And Jehovah hath delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom thy son." He was saying that David had stolen the kingdom. "And behold, thou art taken in thine own mischief, because thou art a man of blood." And then 9 and 10. Then said Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, unto the king, "Why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over, I pray thee, and take off his head." And the king, verse 10. The king said, "What have I to do with thee, you sons of Zeruiah? Because he curses, because Jehovah has said to him, curse David. Who then shall say, wherefore hast thou done unto me?" There's this fellow who comes along. His name is Shimei. And according to the verses just read, he does not treat King David very well. From the scripture reading, he decides that he's going to throw some rocks, some stones at David. And as I was studying this, it was interesting to me that I also saw some news about the time that I was looking at this material. And the reporter, he has some footage of some people in the land of Israel. And they are picking up some rocks, and it looks like they are throwing those stones at an armored vehicle. And I thought to myself, how fruitless, how foolish, to think that you're going to be able to use some rocks or stones and do any damage to an armored vehicle. But this did remind me that they've been throwing rocks, they've been throwing stones in this part of the world for a long, long time. Well, stones were cast towards David, but this is not the only thing that was being hurled his way. Verse 7 says that insults were also being thrown David's way. David was called a murderer. David was called a base fellow. That is, he was referred to as a scoundrel. David was accused of stealing the throne, taking the kingdom unjustly. One of David's subordinates, as we read, offered to take this man's life, verse 9, and David said, "No, I'm not going to let you do it." David's willingness to let this man throw rocks at him and curse him is partly explained by verse 12. Before we leave this chapter, I also want to read that passage. "It may be that Jehovah will look on the wrong. God may look on the wrong done unto me, and Jehovah will requite me good for his cursing of me this day." David said, "I'm going to take it. I'm going to let him curse me. I'm going to let him throw rocks at me. Because for whatever reason, in the end, I'm probably going, at least I hope that things are going to work out better for me." So David lets this foul-mouthed rock thrower live. But even though he shows some mercy to Shimei, that does not change this guy's behavior. And we know that because of the information in verse 13. "So David and his men went by the way, and Shimei," there's that guy again, "went along on the hillside over against him, and cursed as he went, and threw stones at him, and cast dust." Now this is all the material that I want to extract from 2 Samuel 16. In just a moment, we're also going to be reading from 2 Samuel 19. If you want to follow along, then I would encourage you to turn over a page or two and get ready to read from that chapter. Now, before making that transition, let me pause for a moment and see if we can learn a little something based on 2 Samuel 16, especially that information from verses 12 and 13. David believed bearing with this man who did evil to him was the best course of action to take. As I think about David, I've never been to the area of Palestine, but I do understand that it is a fairly rocky area. As I think about David, as he's bearing with the cursing, as he's bearing with the rock throwing, I suspect that wherever David was, there were probably some rocks in that area as well. If David had wanted, he likely could have picked up some rocks and thrown them back. Or David's men likely could have picked up some rocks and thrown those back. Certainly David was in a position to use his voice to hurl some insults back at Shimei. But as we look at Scripture in 2 Samuel 16, what do we find? We find that David showed some restraint. We have come to a time of year which is supposedly filled with love, joy, and peace. But you know, regardless of what we see posted on some store windows, love, joy, peace, it's a nice season. Regardless of what we may see posted on the porches of some homes, not everything is love, joy, and peace. In fact, as you look at some homes, maybe not yours, hopefully not yours, but as you look at some homes, you're going to find places, homes, families where bitterness, anger, bad feelings, they not only exist, but maybe this is the time of year when those items escalate. You might find with some of the people that you know that already individuals are gearing up for the battles that they know that they're going to wage during this time of year. As we look at 2 Samuel 16, this is a passage, this is a chapter which reminds us that it takes at least two people or two parties to fight. Now, if somebody wants to smash our head with a big rock, they certainly don't have that right. But if someone wants to throw verbal arrows, verbal assaults at us, like what we find here with David, be willing to take that and step aside. Be willing to step aside. If someone wants to mock us, condemn us, fault us for something at this time of year or some other time of year, be the bigger person. That's the right thing to do as we come to the final months of a year and certainly as we think about throughout the year. David, as we think about him, he being king, could have ended the life of Shimei. In fact, one of his men made that offer. Shimei could have been snuffed out just like that, with surely no effort, no difficulty at all. But David, this guy's king. And you might insult the president, and that's probably going to be tolerated. But if you insulted the king, that was enough to end your life. And yet David let this guy live. Now one might think that 2 Samuel chapter 16 ends the story with Shimei, but it doesn't. In 2 Samuel chapter 19, we go back to Shimei. Not only do we go back to Shimei, we have some additional information that's really important. In 2 Samuel chapter 19, David has finished up a campaign. And he's crossing the Jordan River. And as he crosses the Jordan River, the Bible says there is someone who comes to see him. In fact, the first person who comes to see David after David crosses the Jordan is this same guy from 2 Samuel 16, this fellow by the name of Shimei. This detail is found in 2 Samuel chapter 19 and verse 18. So if you found that 19th chapter, that's where we want to start to read. And there went over a ferry boat to bring over the king's household and to do what he thought good. And Shimei, there are 19 people in the Bible named Shimei. But this one is the same guy from 2 Samuel chapter 16. And Shimei, the son of Gera, fell down before the king when he was come over the Jordan. This rock throwing, this potty mouth Shimei, is now no longer throwing rocks. He is now no longer cursing David. He comes, he is the first guy to meet David, and he falls down at the king's feet with honor and respect. Now someone might say, well, why does this guy change his behavior? Well, the reason for that is found in verses 19 and 20 of 2 Samuel chapter 19. In verse 19, the Bible says, "And he," that would be Shimei, "said unto the king, let not my lord," that would be David, let not my lord impute iniquity unto me. Neither do thou remember that which thy servant did perversely the day that my lord the king went out of Jerusalem, that the king should take it to his heart. For thy servant, that Shimei, doth know that I have sinned. Therefore, behold, I am come this day, the first of all the house of Joseph, to go down to meet my lord the king. Shimei comes, and he essentially says to David, I come here today. I come here as the first one in line to greet you, O king. And by the way, do you remember that little incident with the rocks? Do you remember that little incident where I had some things to say about you that were not so nice? Would you please put that out of your mind? Would you please just overlook that? Would you please just forget that and everything can be good? Well, David hears what Shimei has to say. And he's got to make a decision. So as we read a little bit further, we have some information, and this is coming from verse 21. But Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, answered and said, "Shall not Shimei be put to death for this, because he cursed Jehovah's anointed?" Well, David's been asked to essentially forgive this man. And one of David's men says he's cursed the king. He should die. And David now has to make a decision concerning what he's going to do. As you look at verse 22, and I'm not going to read that, but I will highlight it. In verse 22, David says, "I'm in a pretty good mood." David recognizes that he is now king over Israel. That fact is not disputed in any way. And David says, "Because I am king this day, it is a time for celebration. Because it is a good day," David says, "Shimei's life is going to be spared." Verse 23. David said to this man, "Thou shall not die." And David kept his word. Now there's more to the story. But before we get to this additional information, let's pause to see if once again we can extract some practical information from what we've learned thus far. David has a second opportunity to take this man's life. First opportunity, 2 Samuel chapter 16, David shows him some mercy, Shimei lives. Shimei shows up again, 2 Samuel chapter 19, David is once again encouraged to take this man's life, he doesn't do it. Abishai said Shimei's life should be taken, and David said, "No, today is a day of celebration instead of a day of execution." Once again, for us, the so-called holiday season has come. Whoever you are, whoever the people we know are, I think most would agree that there are at least a few good things about this time of year. But as we look at people, some of whom are Christians, some of whom are not, we also find that when the holidays come, this is often a time of stress for some people. I can name some folks, and I'm sure that you can too, who, when you look at their home, especially during this time of year, family arguments are not uncommon. I know some people who, before the end of the year comes, if they've not already said it, "I hate Christmas. I hate this time of year. It creates family strife. It creates difficulties. And even though there's some fun, even though there's some good things about this time of year, it really is stressful." David said, concerning a man who had a man that he had many reasons to dislike and even kill, he said, "I give him a pass. And not only do I give him a pass once, I'm going to give him a pass twice. In spite of all that this man did to me as king, even though this man engaged in some activities which merited the death penalty, I'm going to grant his request and I'm going to let him live." David offered some mercy to this guy. As we go through life, and especially as we think about this time of year, it is good, it is right, it is wise to follow David's example. We also should be willing to give some mercy to people during this time of year. Now you say, "Well, if you knew about this person, if you knew about this family member, if you knew about these people in my family, you wouldn't think that he, she, or they deserve much mercy." Well, let's go back and reconsider that. We can find some people who likely deserve judgment. Some people who deserve coal in their stocking. Kindness might be the last thing that we think that someone deserves for whatever reason. Maybe someone has wounded us in a variety of ways. Maybe someone has hurt us time and time again with words or deeds or both. Maybe we've been mocked. Maybe we've been hurt in some very memorable ways. But when those negative things pop up, maybe at this time of year, maybe in the next year, try to look for the positive. David was willing to let Shimei live. But once again, as we look at 2 Samuel chapter 19, this is not the end of the story. David was not willing to do all that Shimei asked. Shimei, as we noted from the verses read, comes to David and essentially says, "Wipe it all away. Forget about it. Leave this from your mind. Take it from your mind." Well, David did spare this man's life, but he didn't put everything out of his mind. The book of 2 Kings, and that's where I'm headed now. The book of 2 Kings opens, this is the first chapter and the first verse. It begins with some information about David. It says, David became an old man. David was advanced in years. In 2 Kings 2, and that's where my reading is going to come from, we find that David begins to give some instructions to Solomon. Solomon, of course, was one of David's sons, and Solomon, of course, was Israel's third king. Started out with Saul, then moved to David, and then Solomon takes over. David, before Solomon has to deal with his death, Solomon is told about some people from David's past. And one of the people that David tells Solomon about is this guy by the name of Shimei. There are some times in life when people should keep their mouth shut. Now, that's plain talk, but that's the way it is. Sometimes people should just better say nothing than keep their mouth shut. David should have kept his mouth shut when it came to telling Solomon about Shimei. But the Bible says he didn't do that. Listen to or follow along with David's words about Shimei to Solomon. This is in 1 Kings chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. And behold, he says, there is with thee Shimei, the son of Gera, the Benjamite of Bahurim, who cursed me with a grievous curse in the day when I went to Mahanaim. But he came down to meet me at the Jordan, and I swear to him by Jehovah, saying, I will not put thee to death with the sword. Now therefore, Solomon, hold him not guiltless. That is, I want you to make sure that he bears some blame, some responsibility for what he did. For thou art a wise man, and thou wilt know what thou oughtest to do unto him, and thou shalt bring his hoar head down to Sheol with blood. David had not forgotten how Shimei had treated him. And from what I can tell, it looks like the bad feelings that he had toward this man, David carried those bad feelings to his grave. David told Solomon about the awful things, especially the cursing that had come from Shimei. Solomon was told that his father had spared Shimei's life, but that sparing of his life did not make this man innocent. Verse 9 says, O Solomon, you are a wise man, and you're going to know how to deal with this fella. You're going to know how to arrange a death for Shimei, and not just a death. But you're smart, you're wise, you're going to be able to figure out how to make this guy die a bloody and awful death. Well, let's again pause here and make the point practical. If we're going to show mercy, if we're going to show kindness, if we're going to show compassion to someone this time of year, or even at some other time of year, make the compassion count. Sometimes a person says, well, I'm going to be nice to him today, tomorrow, next week. And it seems after they've done their nice act, they check that off until another year comes. Don't let kindness or mercy or compassion be practiced for a few days or a few weeks or even a month and then let up. Oftentimes it happens. Don't show kindness to someone and then at a later time dredge up some stuff from the past. Don't transmit the sins, the evil deeds of others to future generations. It's sad. It's awful. It's pathetic that parents do that. But sometimes moms and dads do. Well, so-and-so did this to me. And then that brings about a whole new generation of problems. We can understand why someone would want to talk, why someone would want to share information about another person about some of the things they suffered. But David didn't need to put this information in Solomon's head and lay this responsibility on Solomon's back. You know, there's an old song which says, they'll know we are Christians by our love. I asked around a little bit this morning. I assumed that everybody would know that song, but apparently not. Well, that song has been around since 1968. And if you're not familiar with that song, it has some great lyrics. They'll know we are Christians by our love. By our love. They'll know we are Christians by our love. And part of that love should be that kindness, that mercy, that compassion. Show that. As we come to this time of year, we're a lot of people are sometimes lacking in those qualities. Let people then see that compassion, that love, that mercy, that grace flow throughout our lives because we're Christian every single day. They will know we are Christians by our love. Is that how, as we start to close out another year, people have, at least in part, looked on us? They said, I know you're a Christian by your love, by your compassion, by your mercy, by the kindness that you extend to other people. It is completely different than what we see from other individuals. That makes you distinct in your workplace. It makes you distinct in your home. It makes you distinct in your neighborhood. It makes you distinct in your school. If that's not our record for this past year, will we not think about changing that when it comes to 2018? Someone says, well, I'm just average in those areas because I'm not yet a Christian. Well, this morning, you can start to turn over a new leaf. As I say, you can become a Christian. Faith, repentance, confession, baptism, and after baptism, the Bible says that we begin to walk, Romans 6, verses 1 through 5, in a brand new way. And part of that way is that people will know you are a Christian by your love. If you've not been living in that way, this morning, will you not pledge to make that change and do that now? If you have become a Christian and you struggled with that area of life. And this morning we can help you in that way or another. Would you like to make known that need? I do that now as we stand and sing the selected song.